Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Roll over on your right side, up on your elbow, point both toes, and lift. One, two, three.
Oh, if you've ever had the experience of suffering through the burn with Jane Fonda day after day, or of 5-mile runs, Pilates, and spin classes, only to notice that the number on the scale has hardly budged, then you'll want to stick around and hear what my next guest has to say. John Cloud, a gym rat himself, has looked into the recent science of exercise and weight loss and has found exercise is pretty useless. Yes, my friends, useless. His article, Why Exercise Won't Make You Thin, appears this week in Time magazine. John Cloud, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks so much for having me.
First of all, you have got to be kidding me. No. For years, we've been hearing that the key to weight control is diet and exercise, like peanut butter and jelly, together forever, one linked to the other. And you're telling me now, no?
Well, right. And let me just begin by saying exercise is not completely useless. In fact, you want to exercise for all kinds of reasons, for your heart health, for your mental health, for your joints, et cetera, et cetera.
But we want to get thin, John. We want to get taut.
Yes. Yeah. Right. And in terms of weight loss, exercise, well, there are a couple things going on. One thing is that we know from research. So one study I quote at some length in this story was done on a group of women in Louisiana and Texas who were recruited, 464 women. They exercised 3 to 4 times a week with a personal trainer. And, you know, their exercise was very carefully calibrated. Their heart rates were measured. I mean, this was a serious exercise group. They were followed for 6 months. Their diets didn't change. In fact, they were told, you know, maintain your standard diet and everything. They compared this group to a group of women who didn't exercise. All they did was fill out monthly forms detailing any medical symptoms they had. And at the end of the 6 months, they found that the women who exercised had lost no more weight than the women who all they did once a month was think about their health and their diets. And so they filled out these forms, which had the effect of probably causing them to eat a little bit less. So they lost a little bit of weight too. The reason is that the person who ran the study, and this is not an unusual finding in the exercise world, the person who runs the study, he calls this phenomenon compensation. Whether because you're hungrier or because you want to reward yourself when you get home, you tend to eat more when you exercise a lot. So that's a big part of what's going on here.
Well, if you rule out compensation, if people get honest with themselves and stop overeating after a hard workout, then does exercise help with weight loss?
Sure, but we're not really built very well to do that. I mean, obviously, you know, a lot of people have this up and down roller coaster thing with their weight, and they'll either go on a diet or they'll adopt some exercise regimen. We have, in the year 2000, these psychologists, Roy Baumeister and Mark Moravin, published a pretty well-known paper in psychology circles about self-control. And they observed in this paper that your self-control is like a muscle. If you go out and go running for an hour, it's going to be much harder to get back home and make decisions about anything, really, but make decisions particularly about food that are going to deny yourself further. You've already done this great thing for yourself. And that's just kind of how we're built psychologically. The other factor here that's more physiological is there's a great misconception out there about if people say, oh, I'm going to speed up my metabolism, I'm going to change a lot of my fat to muscle, and muscle is much more effective at burning calories. Muscle is significantly more effective at burning calories, but you're talking about small amounts here. A pound of muscle is going to burn about 6 calories a day in a resting body. A pound of fat is going to burn about 2 calories a day in a resting body. So you have a difference there of 4 calories. Let's say that you convert 10 pounds of your fat then to muscle. Well, you're going to buy yourself about 40 calories a day. Now, 40 calories is about what's in a teaspoon of butter. It's, you know, it's a couple bites of a donut. I mean, it is,
nothing.
Half a glass of, nothing. So this is the other problem. We think, oh, hey, I'm going to the gym. My arms look bigger. And how many football players do we see, or how many, professional athletes do we know who are awfully big guys?
Listeners, gym rats, we're taking your calls with questions for Time magazine writer John Cloud about the role of exercise in weight loss. Are you a nutritionist or a personal trainer?
What do you tell your clients about exercise and diet? And what will you tell them now after hearing about the most recent research showing exercise doesn't really lead to weight loss? Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. You can also post your comments on the Brian Lehrer Show page at WNYC.org. Oh, boy. Well, you know, I was surprised when I did just a casual Google search on this, how many papers I got that were supporting what you found, that especially cardio, there seems to be this myth, you know, of long runs, right, or spin classes will lead to weight loss. Cardio exercises don't seem to play a big role in weight loss. So I don't know. Is it the type of exercises we're doing? What about interval training? That's all the rage now, and there seems to be some science supporting the fact that interval training is better for weight loss.
Well, there is a little bit on that. The one thing with cardio that happens is that people tend to underestimate dramatically how many calories you really burn when you do cardio. People also underestimate to themselves, and not even intentionally. If you go back and you ask people, if you tell people, look, think very carefully about how long you went running and give us an honest answer. People almost always overstate the amount that they ran. And then, you know, we become sort of bad calorie counters when we get back. We think, oh, well, you know, I'm sure I ran for 4 miles, and that means that I burned X number of calories. So, you know, I am going to, you know, have this muffin or whatever I'm going to have. Also, sports drinks are part of the problem here as well. We feel great license to drink something like Gatorade after you do cardio because you're really, really hot and sweaty. Mm-hmm. With the interval training, with the strength training, you are going to burn calories, but you are going to need to do that over such a longer period of time. But again, I do want to emphasize both of these things are really important for your health. I mean, you do need to do cardio exercise for your heart. You do need to do strength training, especially as you get older, to protect your joints. And both of these things are going to make you feel better mentally. So, I mean, these things do have an important, a really critical role in any kind of health regimen. We just, we kind of mistake, you know, if Brian Lehrer is biking for 2 hours in the Adirondacks, he might get back and think, oh, hey, you know, now I get to,
eat a muffin, or
a bunch of ice cream or something. But, that's how our reward mechanism is working.
And the fact that that's so hardwired is particularly depressing. We have a personal trainer on the line. Gil from Regal Park, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Hi. Hello?
Hi, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm not a personal trainer, but, you know, I gave up that extensive, excruciating aerobic exercise. I had an extremely high appetite, and I would consume a lot of water and things like that. But I started a high intensity interval training, and for 2 months I do about 8 minutes of exercise. I rest 2 minutes between. I do about 80% max heart rate. I have a heart rate monitor, and basically I've lost about 15 pounds. I don't have the appetite, it's done in about 20 minutes. And, there are a number of studies that show, New York Times had an article about six-minute exercise a few weeks ago. There are numerous studies that show that, you know, that 6 minutes is equal to, the benefits is equal to about an hour of aerobic exercise continuous at 80% max. And the metabolism increase and the muscle mass and everything like that, I'm down to like 18% body fat. And it's just amazing, and I do it every day. And there's no reason why anyone else can do that. And the benefits actually are not long term; they're very short. You see the benefits within a few weeks.
Gil, thanks for that. Gil points out something that you also mentioned in your article, John, and that was our definition of exercise.
Right, that's exactly right. There's a strong sense out there that, and it's been cultivated in the last 20 years, mainly, if you look in the past 20 years, the fitness industry has grown dramatically. I mean, we spend $19 billion a year on health club memberships. The number of Americans who belong to a health club has doubled since 1993. It's now about 45 million Americans. And we've bought into an idea that until the 1980s even, was kind of a debated idea in public, which is whether exercise really does help you lose weight or what role it really plays. You can go back and read scientific articles even from the early 90s that say it has been suggested that exercise should play more of a role in weight loss. What we have also done during this period is replace a lot of our daily movements. You know, one thing that all these exercise researchers I talked to emphasized is we are so much more sedentary now than we used to be just in our daily lives. We don't walk very much. We drive 18 times around the parking lot trying to find a space. We take cabs too often. We don't take the subway enough. We don't carry our own groceries. We have professional dog walkers now. We have all of these mechanisms, essentially, that are to keep us seated and in front of a computer most of the time. And then we say, oh, well, I'm going to go to the gym for 30 minutes. You don't end up going as often as you think you will. You don't work out as often as much once you're there as you think you do. And you tend not to work out as hard. Now, personal trainers can help you do that. But it's very difficult for most people to get up to 80%. I mean, 80% of your max capacity, which is what Gil is working out at, is great. But it's hard to do that for most people. A goal that exercise researchers have offered that might be, might be a way to get people moving a little more is just to try to build more activity into your daily life. Always take the stairs, for instance. You know,
I know, but I just find that hard to believe that that's going to help me keep my weight down as opposed to 30 minutes on a treadmill.
At
a 15-degree incline, 7 miles per hour and just really busting a sweat.
If you're prepared, if you're really going to go for those 30 minutes and you're really going to do it 4 times a week and you're really not going to miss days, then it's fine. It's a lot easier for most people to make smaller changes in their lifestyle that are every day and, that you're just going to, every day there's an escalator from the subway level of my building up to the lobby floor. And I always take those stairs now. I mean, I've just become accustomed to taking those stairs. If you look at a lot of this exercise research, there are many, many papers that come out almost every week about the benefits of exercise. If you read into those papers, very often, the exercise group were people who simply walked more or they climbed more stairs. They did it on a daily basis and they integrated that into their lives. I'm not saying people shouldn't go to the gym. As you pointed out, I go to the gym a lot. But this is not something that you should think, is going to keep the pounds off.
Well, what it also tells me is that less is more. It doesn't take quite as much right. to stay healthy and fit. We have another caller, Taryn from Mount Vernon. You're on WNYC. Good morning, Taryn.
Hi. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
I think to say that working out is useless is kind of a really blanket statement. I mean, considering that. Because what you're saying is that the breakdown isn't really with exercise itself, because your calories in have to be less than your calories getting burned up to lose weight. But what you're really saying is that the breakdown is with people and their willpower. I don't know. I just don't like the blanket statement when that's not really the case.
John?
Right. Well, it is willpower is a big part of it, but it's not just that. I mean, there is this physiological thing about what a pound of muscle will do versus a pound of fat. There's another physiological thing going on here, which is there's this idea out there, and it's just sort of emerging, but it's the idea that we have an activity set point, that there's a sort of natural amount that our bodies want to move every day. Let me just finish an earlier point, which is the deal about just taking the stairs or walking more. That, by the way, is beneficial and shows a lot of health benefits. It's also not going to operate. It's not going to kick in these reward mechanisms. But on the activity set point, this is the idea. Another study I looked at for this story in Time is they looked at a group of kids in England. They looked at three groups of kids, in fact. One has 9 hours of PE a week at their school. Another has, I think it was 2 hours, and I think the third school had 1 hour. They had the kids wear these little devices called actigraphs on their wrists and around their waist and around their legs. They measure how much movement literally your body has, both when you're active and just when you're sitting around. And the remarkable thing they found about these three groups of kids was at the end of the day, they all moved around about the same amount at about the same intensity. And they had no differences also in their weight and in their health. Because these kids, when they went to PE and they had 9 hours of PE a week, they tended to get home and be tired. And,
right,
and
flop on the couch.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the kids who didn't have as much PE were getting home and, you know, charging out with a bicycle or something. And this is the this idea that we might, you know, there might be this sort of set point that we have that it's very hard for us to move beyond, which is why if you make a choice to do some incremental low-level things every day, it's going to be a little bit easier than saying, you know, I am definitely going to go to the gym. I'm going to be there because... It's hard to make that decision, and by the time you get there and you change into your shorts and you're fiddling with your iPod trying to find the Brian Lehrer podcast, and then you know, then you get
oh,
off.
Great
to...
exercise tool, by the way. Right. Well, could it be that what these studies are highlighting are the plateaus we reach with both diet and exercise? That it seems we need to continue stepping up the intensity of our workouts if we want to continue seeing benefits.
Well, there's some data that as we get older, we move less. So they do these actigraph studies on adults as well. And we know this just anecdotally. I mean, anyone who, you know, if you see kids, I mean, kids are just kind of flopping around with this energy all the time. We tend to start fidgeting less. We tend to start, you know, making those kind of almost involuntary movements less as we get older. So you are going to have to, you know, make some conscious effort either to walk more or bike around more or go to the gym or whatever it is you're going to make a decision to do. But, you know, you do need to move more as you get older. But it's still not going to change the fact that the most important determinant of weight loss is going to be your diet, what you eat.
Joe has that point. Joe from Queens, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Joe.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you touching this subject, which is important for everybody. Seems to me that please do not discourage anybody exercising because it's so important. But the key, I think, is that we don't know the majority of the population. We just don't know what to eat. You know, if you don't eat fat things, number one, fried things, number two, and you don't need certain items. Like, for example, you don't need for anything rice. You don't need potatoes. You don't need whole milk.
Right. Counting calories. Joe, thanks for that call. John Cloud, are we seeing a shift toward really just looking at calories and reducing calories as the tried and true way to achieve weight loss?
Well, it's certainly the most important thing. And if you talk to obesity researchers, they will tell you, you know, one of the mysteries of obesity research, and there are a lot of mysteries, but one of them is why is it so hard? I mean, so I just spoke to Kelly Brownell. He's a Yale scientist. And for years, he helped people lose weight in a lab at Yale. And what he told me was, look, in the end, it was incredibly frustrating. About 5% of the people that we treated, and this is at a Yale clinic, about 5% of the people we treated were able to keep the weight off for long periods of time. Now, those people, I do want to point out, and I say this in the article, those people were more likely to exercise than the people who didn't. But he said, you know, what we found is essentially this drilled into your head combination of exercise more and eat less. It just does not work for people. We are going to have to find a different message. And one thing that's at work here is, again, this idea that self-control is like a muscle. And you ask people, change your diet, and then you also ask them, go out and exercise. And it's like, people can only do so much. And most obesity researchers are moving now in the direction of, let's ask people to change their diet. We'll tell them about the benefits of exercise. But, you know, it has just not been a successful message for the last 20 years. Exercise more and eat less. People just won't do it. So let's focus on the thing that is, you know, that actually that we know will work, which is you have to change your diet if you want to lose weight.
John, is writing this story change the way you exercise? Yeah, you cracked me up with your introduction talking about being worked out by a personal trainer like a farm animal. And this foam wedge class that you take that you talk about doing detestable exercises with,
right.
Really very funny. So do you feel now that you can lighten up a little bit?
It's definitely I'm vain enough that I like the way exercise makes me look, building muscle, and that can be nice to have at the beach or something. But I've definitely changed the way I've thought about. On days when I exercise, I know I'm hungrier and I have to think a little more carefully. It's made sense to me why I haven't been able to lose the fat that I have, because I kept thinking, why isn't this working? Why isn't everything that I'm doing? And it's because, when I really thought about it, I was compensating in two ways. I was eating a little bit more on the days that I exercised, and then I was also moving less in terms of things like I talked about earlier, taking the stairs. I would be tired. I would take a cab home instead of taking the subway. I wouldn't cook for myself. Going out, buying food, cooking for yourself, cleaning up, so much easier on the days that you've exercised and you're really tired, so much easier to get home from work and say, order an Uncle Mo's burrito. I love Uncle Mo's burritos, but, they're maybe not the thing that is going to keep the weight off. So I've certainly thought a lot more about the relationship between food and exercise.
And again, we can't get to all of these calls, and please post your comments to our website, WNYC.org. Click on the Brian Lehrer Show. Most folks saying, please don't discourage people from exercising.
Yes.
And I don't think you are.
No.
I don't think you do. But definitely your point is that people have to be weaned away from the idea that they can exercise themselves to the perfect weight, that
exactly.
It's hard to do. And when people find that they fall off the wagon a lot, it's not necessarily because they have poor willpower. It's because you tend to want to eat more when you exercise a lot. So
right, exactly.
So a lot of compassion for us gym rats who are trying to get that spare tire down.
And the people who are, the people who are writing in about, it is absolutely crucial for all kinds of health reasons that people exercise. And we emphasize that on the very cover of the magazine in this story and several times in the story. And I do, all kinds of health reasons. But there is a misunderstanding out there about the relationship between exercise and weight loss. And so that's the myth that we're talking about when we just say the myth about exercise on the cover of Time.
John Cloud was the author of Time Magazine's cover story on exercise and weight loss. Thanks so much for joining us here on WNYC.
It was a real pleasure.
Coming up, we listen in on what federal elected officials are saying about more regulations over the Hudson River for small aircraft. Stay with us.